The Islamist militants sweeping through Iraq and Syria, once calling themselves ISIS, now calling themselves the Islamic State, or ICE, recently declared a new caliphate, a redrawing of the map to create a Muslim empire. Of course, there was another remapping of the region 100 years ago after the fall of the Ottoman Empire at the close of World War I. And our next guest is one of those who says the boundaries established then are shaping the conflicts in Iraq and elsewhere today. The drafters of that map were two Catholic Europeans, which partly explains why Islamist militants want to dismantle it. Charlie Sennett has spent a lot of time reporting in the region. He's a co-founder of the news outlet Global Post, where he heads the nonprofit Ground Truth Project, which produces special reports, including one on how World War I is shaping today's conflicts. He joins us in the studio. Welcome back, Charlie.
Thanks, Robin.
World War I is on our minds because of the 100-year anniversary of the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. But you say, as a reporter in this region, it's always on your mind?
You know, I've covered the Middle East for so many years, and I've covered so many conflicts. And I constantly find myself putting these big, fat volumes of World War I history into my backpack when I'm going to cover these stories. And so as the anniversary approached of the 100th year since World War I started with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, we thought, what if we went back and we really looked at the origins of World War I and how that shaped so many contemporary conflicts and how there are lessons that have been learned and far too often not learned.
Mm-hmm. But focus now on the other thing that's on our mind, ISIS. ICE, I guess, IS, the Islamic State Islamists who are in Iraq and Syria. And how, let's draw the line from them back to the drawing of boundaries 100 years ago. You say that there were two men, a Brit and a Frenchman, who drew up a secret document that set the boundaries we know today. Tell us about that.
This is the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which you might remember from your high school history class, or you may have long forgotten. But the Sykes-Picot Agreement is something that if you're in the Middle East today, it is very common for people to bring this up as if it happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This is the map that was created during World War I by the British diplomat Sykes and the French diplomat Picot, who decided they'd carve up the world for their representative governments in anticipation of winning the war. They didn't know if they'd win yet, but they wanted to have a deal so that they understood spheres of control and influence. Sykes-Picot Agreement essentially shaped the modern Middle East in a post-Ottoman era in which there would be British, French, American control of different regions. And of course, oil is starting to come into play in a very big way
at this time.
Right. And so the control, particularly of Mosul, interestingly, was a very, very big question on this map. And the British took over the control of Mosul. And for their colonial convenience, they created what is now known as modern Iraq, with many would say disregard, some would say arrogance, some would say ignorance, to the many complex fissures that really make up that area. They didn't pay attention to the tribes, the Kurdish north, the Shia south, and the Sunni belt.
And to remind people, Mosul is the oil-rich city in northern Iraq that ISIS or ICE is now in control of. But hold up right there, Charlie Sennett, because, all right, you're talking about these colonial powers carving up this region for their own benefit. But just remind us what it was, because there's a little bit of debate, you know, people saying, well, there already really were boundaries. But remind us, we have this romantic notion of Lawrence of Arabia and, you know, a sense of what it was. Remind us of what it was.
Lawrence of Arabia, who we all know from the movie, one of the great Hollywood movies of all time, it's really a dramatic story of a man who came to understand the tribes. And that is probably the most important thing to understand, particularly in this part of the Middle East, where the tribes ruled. And how they divided the world paid some attention to those tribes, but it gave great preference to some over others. It was perceived as a divide and rule, essentially bringing in the ones they wanted to favor that they know would be good to them.
And it asked them all to function together.
Well, it asked them to function together. And for a long time, it's been about holding that together through strongmen or dictators and separating it out. It was often referred to as Mesopotamia. Back then, it was looked upon as this sort of desert, no man's land. As you went further north, you would get into the Levant and you would get into the more cultured area. The French took more control, administrative control over the Levant, Lebanon, and also into Syria. It was the British who took Iraq and who very precisely had their eye on Mosul. So I think it's true these lines have existed in the sand for a long time, but it is the formal boundaries of a nation known as Iraq that is carved out of the Sykes-Picot Agreement of World War I.
That has led, as you say, to this conflict today. By the way, we mentioned Lawrence of Arabia. The real Lawrence of Arabia was very much against this carving up of the area because, as you say, you're nodding, as you say in your writing, he grew to love and understand these tribes. But are you saying that the group ISIS has members that actually are saying we want to take back the land the way it was before the Sykes-Picot Agreement?
I had one of those amazing moments as a journalist on our trip to Sarajevo. I'm reporting this story on the history of World War I while I am receiving live tweets from the ISIS Twitter feed under the hashtag SykesPicotOver. So the idea that ISIS knows its history is so alive that you can look it up online and you can see how they have often in their videos sort of burning maps of the colonial divides that were created in World War I. They show the Sykes-Picot Agreement as this corrupt colonial enterprise that was as arrogant as it was ignorant. They talk about it in their rhetoric. They look at the maps and say, we are going to redraw them. And they're saying this very consciously and very openly online. And it's a real dialogue. It's interesting to look at a place where the history of 100 years ago is intersecting in this moment with the Islamic State's invasion going from Syria, where they were part of the opposition, down into Iraq, where they are now progressing, as we know, steadily toward Baghdad. So this moment where we look at the 100-year anniversary of World War I is crackling with very contemporary news and how that shapes and motivates the Islamic State.
Well, what are you saying, though? Are you saying, as Joe Biden and others do, allow this to be a tribal country, split it between Kurds and Sunnis and Shia?
You know, the big diplomatic set-piece decisions are above my pay grade. Mm. But I would say right now is a time to revisit a lot of the historical lessons we've never learned. When you live in a time of shifting global influences and empires, you have to pay attention to the details more than ever. So like 100 years ago, we don't have a political crisis that can engulf a regional war or even a world war.
Charlie Sennett of Global Post, his special series from the Ground Truth Project is called The 11th Hour, The Unlearned Lessons of World War I. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org. Charlie, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Raman.
And we'll have you back to talk about some of the other areas of the world in which you see this line from World War I to now. You're listening to Here and Now.